This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me in the studio is
Arvinia Brudge.
And if you want to get in touch with us about our question today, you've got like 13, 12 minutes left. So what is our question today?
Our question is, do you think TVET qualifications are underrated? Why or why not? We have a few updated numbers on Twitter. Yes, equal to degrees is 58.3%. Yes, better than degrees, 20.4%. No, they're not worth it, 6.5%. And no, degrees are better at 14.8%. A few messages. This is from Nicholas, who says, in the end, it's how you use the knowledge. You can be a high school dropout director or even a 9-to-5 salary man PhD. And then Un says that vocational jobs are different from bachelor grad jobs. How is one better than the other? Is char kway teow better than curry mee?
Ooh, I'm so hungry.
And we have another one from Christopher Columbus.
Oh,
this is a good message. He says that, yes, class streaming has changed, no longer result focus. It's more of a student's interest. Example, if a student did not score well, can still be admissible to science stream, pure science, less biology, can add information technology, add addition foreign language such as German as well, which is honestly, which is really nice to know. So the last time I was in any kind of class was 17 years ago. So it's nice to know that stuff has changed since then.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we don't have any changes on Instagram, I'm afraid, in terms of the numbers. It's still 84% yes and 16% no. So tell me about what Amazon warehouse workers really want.
Yeah. So in a strange turn of events, really weird, Amazon warehouse workers in Alabama voted against unionizing last week, with a decisive majority opting not to join the retail, wholesale and department store union. So the decision had a vote of 738 employees in favor to 1,798 against, which was a blow to the labor advocates who had been hoping that unionization at the site might inspire a wave of elections among the more than 500,000 Amazon warehouse workers in the US, which is a huge number, by the way. But it succeeded in drawing national attention to the problems that made Amazon workers interested in organizing in the first place.
Yeah, the fact is, Amazon warehouse workers who have spoken out about their employer have focused on issues that go beyond pay. They've raised concerns about health and safety, particularly during the pandemic, overly strenuous productivity goals that leave them with little time for bathroom breaks, working under strict tracking systems, and being assigned, and I quote, mega cycle shifts of 10.5 hours. Ooh, in sum, what workers fundamentally want, I think this goes for any kind of worker ever, is more control over their own bodies and schedules. The desire for autonomy is universal, right?
Yep.
But giving workers more of it means ceding some degree of control to them. And control is something that Amazon is likely to be loath to give up. Its warehouses are optimized for a certain version of productivity, says Matthew Bidwell, an associate professor at the Wharton School of Management at the University of Pennsylvania. A version that, Bidwell says, structures work around the question of how do we get people to behave like robots?
Yeah. Employees have used that same metaphor to describe their struggles to keep up with Amazon's productivity expectations, which means failure to do so can mean losing your job. Even benevolent reviews of what it's like to work at fulfillment centers say that the experience is boring and extremely isolating, with computers ranking people in real time on their performance compared to their co-workers and sending automatic messages when they're processing items too slow. And these tactics, it seems, are similar to assembly line practices American manufacturers have employed before, but they come with costs for both workers and ultimately their employers. So in the early 1970s, workers at GM's Ohio plant famously rebelled against a newly sped up assembly line that made it impossible to accurately assemble cars, going on strike in an effort to not only lower the pace of work to a doable speed, but to change the monotony of their jobs itself.
Yeah, and you know, eventually many US automakers adopted something closer to Toyota's system, creating self-managed teams and inviting workers to help management design work processes rather than having them imposed from above. And Bidwell says in manufacturing, it turns out, not only did the workers tend to prefer this, it works out to be more efficient.
Yeah. So the situation is that it will be tough to get Amazon to change its ways as long as consumers continue to place so much value on convenience, one, and two-day delivery or same-day delivery turnarounds. But the expense and distraction of fending off future organizing efforts might provide the $1.7 trillion company with some extra motivation to reconsider the way its structures work. And then, of course, you know, like unions can always address some concerns about dehumanizing working conditions, such as allowing workers to bargain for more break time, mm-hmm. more realistic productivity goals, and less surveillance, ultimately. But the automated nature of warehouse work is harder to change. And so long as Amazon employees employs hundreds of thousands of fulfillment center workers in the US, that means a lot of current and future blue-collar workers will be in jobs that they may find less meaningful than manufacturing jobs of the past.
Honestly, I kind of feel like this goes back to our question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because, quite frankly, they are so underrated, and the fact that they don't even have time to go to the bathroom, truly, is shocking, right? But I think it's difficult for Amazon to make changes when, you know, like what the article says, if consumers continue to place that value, right, on, mm-hmm. on the speed and convenience of things. But hopefully this is at least some form of not quite a wake-up call, I guess, but awareness, right, of these issues that are in Amazon at the moment.
Yeah.
But that is our question for today. Do you think that TVET qualifications are underrated? Why or why not? Do we have any final responses before we start to wrap up the show?
Let me do a quick refresh. Changed numbers. People have voted. 57.8% voted for yes, equal to degrees. 21.1% say yes, better than degrees. 6.4% say no, they're not worth it. And 14.7% say no, degrees are better. We have no more messages on Twitter.
All right. And we just have a little wrap up on the poll on Instagram. It's now at yes, 80% and no, 20%. So that is about it. That was our first story of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about TVET qualifications and, you know, the stigma against them. And then we went on to talking about Instagram for Kids and how we're not fans of that idea at all.
And then we finished with what Amazon warehouse workers really want.
Yeah. So coming up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin is, of course, the Breakfast Grill replay. So Malaysia's no stranger to the complexities and perils of dirty money. Look no further than the 1MDB scandal. But Malaysia is far from the only country implicated in what author Tom Burgess calls a global kleptocracy. In his latest book, Burgess highlights the interconnectivity of global corruption and what it means for economies and democracies around the world. And he spoke to the Morning Run about all that. So that is about it for today's Enterprise Biz Bytes. If you've missed any of today's show, you can listen back to the podcast on our app that's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. And you can also head over to our website, bfm.my/podcast, to catch up on all the stuff that we talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm Christine Wong and this is Arvin Yuvraj, and we're signing off for today. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow, talking on Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.